For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Brian. I'm the lead pastor here, and I have the great privilege of sharing the word with you today. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, which, by the way, church is a good place to bring your Bible. So if you got a Bible, bring it to church. If you don't have a Bible, pull out your phones and your Bible apps. Turn to Luke chapter 21. We're going to dive into God's word here in just a minute. And we've been going through the Gospel of Luke for a long time, and we're on our final stretch. We're at the final end of the Gospel of Luke, so we're in chapter 21. And so if you want to turn there, today we're going to dive into what Jesus wants to teach us about. And I'm going to begin with the story of yard work. And you say, why? Well, Jesus brought it up. You'll find out in a minute why. But he brought it up. And so when I was a kid, I always remember my mom and dad out doing yard work, right? There was lawn to mow. There was bushes to trim. There was just weeds to pull. In fact, that was one of my punishments as a kid. I still have traumatic memories about it. I'd get bags, giant 50-gallon bags. My dad would say, fill it up with weeds. And so I'd put dirt in there, and I'd put sticks in there, and I'd put all kinds of stuff in there. But I always remember doing yard work. And I, as a kid, I hated it. I hated being out there pushing the lawnmower around and weed eating and pulling all the weeds. As an adult, I actually kind of enjoy mowing the lawn. But there's one task that drives me insane. And it comes this time of year, every year, in front of my house. I have this beautiful tree. I actually just learned, I still have a question mark, but I believe it's an Indian laurel fig tree that's in front of our house, a beautiful, magnificent tree. But this time of year, see, it does something that drives me crazy. See, I always imagine fall, and we have this idyllic suburban pictures of, you know, the kids frolicking through the cool evening air and dad raking the leaves. Well, my tree doesn't do it in fall. It loses all of its leaves when the surface of the sun comes a little bit closer to Simi Valley. You know what I mean? When it gets really hot. And so every summer, I just know when it's really hot, a couple days later, I'm going to have to be in front of my house with a rake melting into the sidewalk as I rake these leaves. And it just drives me crazy. And Jesus talks this morning about some events like that. He says there's things that happen in the natural world that give us a reminder of things that take place in the spirit realm. There's things that when we see them take place in the natural, we just know intuitively that the season has changed. For me, I know when it gets boiling hot outside, I'm going to have to rake some leaves, right? My tree just tells me because it's covering the lawn and the front yard with those things. And Jesus reminds us that there's things in life that remind us of those things. There's events in the natural that tell us that there's a new season about to take place. And we know that, don't we? We can look around and tell when the seasons are about to change. And the big idea this morning, if you're taking notes, the first fill in the blank is this, is that we must live today in light of eternity. Because Jesus tells us this. He says, I'm coming back soon. So we have to live today in light of eternity because Jesus is coming back soon. And he's coming back, and we believe it. And so we want to live our lives in such a way that we live not just for today, but we live in light of what is going to come in eternity. All right? We live for the other side. So with that introduction out of the way, let's turn to Luke chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 29. And Jesus tells a story about a tree, kind of like the tree in my front yard. And he says this, and he told them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees, all right? All the trees, look at your trees. And as soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. We talked about that last week, how Jesus was foretelling the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, among other things. But he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves. Turn to the person next to you and say, watch yourself. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, which I looked it up. That's like a drunken stupor, all right? Don't get drunken, stupid, all right? With dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Jesus is coming back, and it's going to surprise many. But Jesus says in verse 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. He wraps it up and says, the chapter ends with this. And every day he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. So here we see Jesus giving us this everyday reminder. I love that Jesus does this all the time. He gives us these everyday reminders. You'll see it in a few weeks as we go through the story of communion. As Jesus says, when you eat of the bread and you drink of the cup, I want you to remember my sacrifice. That's a daily reminder because we drink of the cup and we eat of the bread regularly, every day. Jesus reminds us, and the Bible reminds us of the goodness of God. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good, that when we taste and we see, that we might remember God. And here Jesus says, I want you to look around because there's trees everywhere. Even in Israel, there's some trees, but here we have a lot more, don't we? And Jesus says, when you look at the trees of Simi Valley, I want you to be reminded of the season that we're in. That when you see the leaves change, you know what season we're in. See these sycamore trees that are outside in our church parking lot. I look at them all year round. And my wife and I have been looking at trees and fruit trees, and we gotta find some way to feed our army. So we've been looking at fruit trees. And so I'm just looking at trees everywhere. Got five boys, for those of you who don't know. And so there's a lot of fruit that gets eaten in our house. So we're looking for fruit trees. So everywhere I look, I'm looking at trees. And you can tell. You can tell what season it is by these sycamore trees that are out here, can't you? You know that man, in the heat of summer, there's leaves and they're green, but they start to look stressed a little bit. You know what I mean? They're green, but they're not great. When fall arrives, you start to see all the leaves hit the ground. That's when normal trees lose their leaves, not my tree. But those normal trees lose their leaves. When winter time comes, these trees out here, not being evergreen, they're bare. They just look like sticks. And then when spring comes, those beautiful, small, green, bright green leaves start to emerge. Jesus says, when you look at the trees, I want you to remember the season that you're in. Because God is about to do something where the season is going to change. And remember that we are in those place of last days. And Jesus teaches us a couple things in this scripture. The first is this, is that we are in the season of last days. But God's not through with this world yet, is he? He's not done yet. Someone look at the scripture and they say, Jesus said, when you see these things take place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. Someone look at Jesus and they read the scripture and they say, Jesus, you are here. That's Jesus, I'll take it. He's saying, Jesus, you are here. Why didn't you just wrap it up, right? Sometimes we're like, I'm already at the store. I might as well get what I need anyways, right? Jesus, you are here. Why didn't you just wrap it up? Why didn't you just finish it off? And I always think of this. I think of this story. I've got a dear friend of mine. I believe he's ninth of nine kids in his family. And I asked him one time, because I grew up with just me and my brother. It was a small, quiet house. So when I just had three kids, I said, did you hate living with all those people in the same house? Wasn't it noisy and chaotic and people's stuff gets broken? And they said, you know what? I'm number nine of nine, so I'm very thankful my parents had a big family. And I thought, yeah, that's true, because if they didn't have a big family, they stopped at three kids, you wouldn't be here. So he's very thankful for that. I thought, that's great perspective. I never thought of it that way. But I believe that Jesus is teaching and God reminds us that he hasn't wrapped it all up. The end is near, but it's not here, because God's not finished yet, because he's got work to do yet. And don't just take my word for it. 2 Peter 2 says this, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count as slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done on it will be exposed. And some wonder, God, why haven't you come yet? We can watch the news and say, God, there's so much brokenness, there's so much destruction, there's so much calamity that takes place in this world. I mean, just turn on any news channel, you'll see it. There's so much division. God, why haven't you wrapped this thing up yet? And my word to you would be this, God is patient. God is patient towards your neighbors. God is patient towards your families and loved ones that haven't yet come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and put their trust in him. God is patient towards those sons and daughters he's still yet to bring into the family. And he's still waiting for them to come through the door. God is patient towards those things. Church, let me just say something. We've got a job to do. And this is a reminder as we look at the seasons, as we look at the leaves, as we're reminded that the season of end times is upon us, we have to be reminded that we've got a job to do. You are God's plan A for reaching the people that are still yet unsaved in this world. Did you know that? Some of y'all are like, Pastor, I thought that's your job. Nope. That's our job, all of our jobs. It's all of our jobs to show and share the good news of Jesus. You are plan A and there is no plan B. The church is the only hope of the world. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're plan A for God. You're like, I don't feel like I'm on the A team, God, but I guess so. You're the A team for God. And God has said, I want you to be reminded that you are in the last days, but the world is not done yet. I'm not done quite yet. Sometimes I joke with my kids. See, going anywhere with all of my boys is always a challenge, getting out of the house, getting into the house, getting through the store. And so every day when we get home, today when we get home from church, it's going to be the same thing. We're going to get home and I'm going to have stuff in my hands. I'm going to be carrying something. I'm going to be running to the bathroom. And it's every day it's boys come in the house. All right? Every day, boys, stop playing on the swing. Stop running in the street. Stop throwing baseballs at the neighbor. Right? Come in the house. And every day I have to say this, come in the house. Come now, right? And I try not to yell. I don't want to be the yelling dad in the neighborhood. But I joke. I'm like, if you don't come in right now, I'm going to close the door and I'm going to lock it. And I never do it for very long, right? I never lock them out for very long. I mean, they're little. Maybe when they're older, I'll lock them out for long. But I don't do it because as a good father, I won't lock the door until my family is inside. Friends, God's got a lot of lost sons and daughters that he's waiting to get through the door. And it's our job to invite them to come through the door. We don't got to yell at them. We got to encourage them to come through the door. But God says, I don't want to lock the door. I don't want to close that time. I don't want to finish the story until my children are in the house. God wants to bring his kids in the house. The second thing Jesus says is we've got to do two things. We've got to stay awake in a sleepy world. And I just want to talk about that first. We've got to stay awake in a sleepy world. Verse 34, Jesus says this. He says, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. He says, watch yourselves. I want you to read those words. There's two sets of words that are bolded on that screen above my head. Would you read them with me? Ready? Go. Watch yourselves. Stay awake. Jesus says, watch yourself and stay awake. These words I want to just etch into the heart, your heart today. That we would be a people that would watch ourselves and we would be a people that would stay awake. See, there are so many times I've uttered those two words to myself. Very often, my wife and I, we went to college down in Southern California, had family in Northern California, so it seemed like every weekend we were driving up the Interstate 5. The Interstate 5, I believe, was created by the devil himself. It's evil, straight, it's monotonous. And so every day we drive, and my wife, I love her, she's getting better at it, but she doesn't drive well at night. She falls asleep. She's like a narcoleptic when the sun goes down when we're driving. Love you, baby. And so every time without fail, we try and I try and give her the day shift because as soon as the sun goes down, it's like, you got to drive. And then within 3 seconds, I look over and just, and I'm like, I'm just looking for someone to talk to. I turn around, I look at my boys. They're all asleep too. And so there I am on Interstate 5, the straightest, boringest road in the world. And I have to say to myself, Brian, watch yourself. Brian, stay awake. Brian, stay awake because you got to stay in the lane. Otherwise, you're going to veer off. And there's this stretch of highway going up Interstate 5. I don't know who designed this, again, some crazy person, but as you get near to Bakersfield, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing and you just go straight, it's not the same freeway. It changes freeways. You got to turn right to stay on the freeway. And so there's times where I'm just on autopilot. You ever been on autopilot? Those of you guys who commute for a long distance, you know what I'm talking about. You get in the car and you're just driving. How'd I get here? I don't know how I got here. But there's times I'm on autopilot and I look up and I'm like, I'm in Bakersfield. I'm supposed to be on Interstate 5. I'm in the middle of Bakersfield on the 99. I got to turn around. I got to drive back. I got to turn because I'm not watching where I'm going. And Jesus says to us as his church, he's saying, you have to watch yourselves. You got to learn to stay in the lane that I've made for you. You've got to watch yourself and keep your eyes focused on the job that I've set before you. Because Jesus has assigned a lane for us. He's assigned a purpose for your life, a direction for your days. He's saying, I need you to stay in your lane. Don't swerve off to the left or the right. Don't lose focus and wander off because you're distracted by all the shiny things that are over there on the left and to the right. But stay focused on the lane that I've placed in front of you. So stay awake, but he says, you got to watch yourself. AT&T has this slogan that they have. Maybe you've seen it, this whole PR program, and you can put it on the screen. It says, it can wait. You've seen it. You know the idea. We've seen distracted drivers, haven't we? We've seen people looking at their cell phone, trying to play Pokemon, trying to catch them all, right? And they're trying to catch them all. They're texting or they're doing something, and they're swerving all over the place. And the whole idea is this, hey, you know what? That text message, it can wait. You got to focus on what you're doing right now. You got to focus on the road. You got to focus on the lane that's in front of you. You got to focus on all the things that are going on because it's life or death. Friends, to you, I would say the same thing. It's life or death. It can wait. There's things that sometimes we get so distracted with, so worried about, so anxious for, that we just think, I got to focus on this even though I'm driving my car and Jesus says it can wait. You got to watch yourselves. Watch where you're going, friends, because there's a world that loves to distract. There's a world that would love nothing more than for God's people to fall asleep at the wheel and miss out the opportunity on what they have. So 2 Corinthians tells us this. I don't have it on the screen, but 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not realize in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? He says, so run to win. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the lane. Watch yourself. Jesus says, secondly, stay awake. See, again, we live in a world that would love nothing more for us to fall asleep at the wheel. So what does Jesus say to us? He says, stay awake at all times, praying that you have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus says, stay awake. Stay awake. Some of y'all need to hear that right now in the message. Turn to the person next to you and say, stay awake! There you go. I've told this story before, but a few months back, my wife and I, we had this brilliant idea. We're going to take the whole family, all five of the little ones and our dog, and we're going to go backpacking. And it was a beautiful adventure. I loved it. I recommend it. But we had this right idea, and we had a plan of where we're going to go. And we had this great plan. It's a nice, safe backpacking place. Easy trail. There's got bear cans you can lock your food in, so squirrels and bears and bears and squirrels and bears, they won't get there. And so for any of you who know me, when I go camping, I don't eat steak very often. We're not like a steak and potatoes kind of family, but when I go camping, I like to splurge. I like to have a steak. And so in my backpack, I've got this nice juicy steak, a couple of them for the family. And as we get closer to the trail, we realize that actually the road is closed to the trail we planned on going. And so we end up on Plan B, which is another trail. And it's a beautiful trail. It's safe. It's fun. We only fell in the river a couple dozen times, right? It was fun. But we get to our camping site, and there's no bear cans. There's no place to put our food. And I hadn't brought a bear can because I was planning on going to a place that had it. And so I hang my tree up like you're supposed to. But I don't trust that, right? I got a steak in there. And what do bears like to eat? They're coming for my steak, right? And so all night long, as I've got my wife and little children and my little dog who's all anxious about being out in the woods, all night long, I'm just thinking there's a bear, right? There's a bear. There's a bear, right? There's a bear. He's coming to eat me. And so all night long, I got my knife in my hand and I'm just sleeping with one eye open. I'm like, I look like a guy from Vietnam. I'm just like, all night long, every squirrel, it's a bear. Every leaf that blows, it's a bear, right? And I'm getting up and I'm looking, I'm pointing my flashlight, I'm checking for bears. But I was reminded that night, I had to stay awake because there was a very real potential for threat, right? And Jesus says, you don't gotta be afraid, But I want you to stay awake. I want you to be aware that there's a real enemy. And friends, I would submit to you that I believe much of the church is asleep. We've been lulled to sleep by the entertainment of our culture. We've been lulled to sleep by the comfort of our society. We've been lulled to sleep by the relative ease in which we can follow Jesus and the ease in which we can find the scriptures and discover the things of God. We've been lulled to sleep, and Jesus says, stay awake, because there's a world that will try and put you to sleep. Does Jesus literally want us to stay awake all the time like I was that night camping in the woods? No, I don't think so. I believe Jesus says we can rest. There's a rhythm of rest that God has for his people. But what he's saying is you must be aware of the things that are taking place. Stay awake. As the kids would say, he wants us to be woke, right? There you go. He wants us to be awake and figure out what's going on. The third thing that Jesus speaks to us about is this idea. He says, God's got a purpose and a meaning for each of our days. He's got a purpose for your life, my friend. And I'll remind you of the final chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Not once, not twice, but three times Jesus reminds us that he's coming back again. This is one of the times he says in Revelation 22:12. He says, behold, I am coming soon. Say soon. I'm bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he's done. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Friends, Jesus is coming. He's coming. I don't know if he's coming tomorrow or he's going to come a generation from now, but he's coming. And we need to live our lives today in light of that day. Jesus says, I want you to live today as if I were coming tomorrow or coming this afternoon, right after lunch. Right now. Some of y'all are like, it's lunchtime, Pastor. Stop talking. But friends, Jesus is coming soon. And though I don't want to be morbid or anything like that, our days are numbered, friends. How many days each one of us has, I don't know. But we have to live today as if it were our last, as if Jesus were coming back today. Because he's coming. That's his promise. Moms and dads, God's given you a finite amount of time to parent your children. Husbands and wives, he's given you a finite amount of time. All of us, he's given us a finite amount of time on this planet Earth. We've got to make those things count. See, we've got to live today in light of eternity. I want to conclude with a psalm this morning. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. And the psalmist encourages us with these words. He says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Church, that's my prayer for you. Not that you would live in such a way that you'd be counting the days until you're gone in a morbid and sad way, but that you would number your days, that you'd say, God, I want to live every day that you've given me with intention. I want to live today in light of that day. I want to live today in light of the day that you come back to redeem and restore. And some of us say, God, are you done yet? God, are we there yet? Some of us are on the road trip with the Lord and we say, God, are you there yet? Are we there yet? How much longer? How much longer? How much longer? And he says, just enjoy the ride. But God says, I've got a purpose for your days. And as the psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God has a purpose for our days. And that's my prayer for you, is that you would live your life in such a way as to make a difference. It's by no mistake that our Next Steps class is all about helping you not only to learn to follow Jesus, not only learn how to grow in freedom, not only discover your purpose, but to make a difference with your life. Those things are important. Because Jesus says we got to live today in light of that day. We've got to pay attention. And maybe you're like me driving down Interstate 5. You've kind of gotten on autopilot. I've been there. I've been there in my spiritual walk as well. But when we find ourselves in that place where we feel like, man, I'm just going down the road, God, would you help me to pay attention, to watch myself, to watch the lane that you've set in front of me, to stay awake when I'm tempted to drift off because it's so comfortable in here, God. The road is so smooth right now. And that's our temptation when the road gets smooth and it gets easy, like that Interstate 5 just going straight and long distance. it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to drift off to the side. It's easy to fall asleep. And Jesus says, I want you to pay attention. I want you to watch yourself. I want you to wake up. And church, today is our wake-up call. It's our reminder from the Lord Jesus that he's not done with our city yet. He's not done with our church yet. He's not done with your days yet. And he hasn't come back because he's got work for us to do. We're the A-team. Come on, man. We're the A-team. God says, I want to send you into my world to show and share the good news of my great love. So this morning, I encourage you, everywhere you go this week, Jesus gave us this practical reminder. He said, when you see the trees, all of them, I want you to remember the season that you're in. So that's my encouragement to you this week as you see the trees at Simi Valley. We're blessed with so many beautiful trees. As you see the trees and you see the leaves, maybe this week as you're like me, burning up in the sun, raking the leaves, you'd be reminded that we're in the final season, that we are in the end times, but God's not finished yet. He's got plenty to do in our city, in our homes, in our lives. And he's just waiting for people that will say, God, here am I. Send me. Use me. Make a difference with me. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord today? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you are so good. Perhaps you've been here today, and as we're reading the words of Jesus, we're reminded that we haven't been living our lives in light of eternity. Lord, this morning we ask you, Lord, to refocus our eyes, where perhaps we've gotten distracted by all the shiny things of this world, our entertainment, our comfort, our relative ease in following you. We've forgotten just how important this thing is. Lord, we ask you to help us to watch ourselves. Give us eyes to see the lane that you set before us. Lord, your word declares that there's a race that's set before each of us. So we should run in such a way as to win. Lord, today where we've gotten off track, where we've stopped running, we've sat on the bench, God, we say, Lord, get us off the bench and back into the race. God, where we've stopped pursuing you like maybe we once did. Maybe we were driving after you with all our hearts. But Lord, we've gone on autopilot. Lord, I pray that you'd wake us up today. Lord, may this be our wake-up call. May we not hit snooze when that alarm bell rings today. Lord, help us to watch ourselves, to keep our eyes focused on the plans that you have for us. God, help us to stay awake. And Lord, I pray that Jesus, as you encouraged us to discern the signs of our times, to recognize that just as the leaves turn and we know the season's changing, God, we know that you're ushering in a new season for us. God, I speak that prophetically over our church family. There's a new season ahead for us. I speak that over marriages. There's a new season ahead today. Lord Jesus, as we see the leaves change and the seasons go from one to the next, God, we believe by faith that you're doing a new thing today in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our city, in our world. Help us to have eyes to see what you're doing in our city. God, we thank you for this great word. May we live today in light of eternity, knowing that the end is near, but it's not here yet, and you've got plenty for us to do. Help us to get to work, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye still closed, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice, and you've never surrendered your life to the care and control of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been to church for years. Maybe you've been off and on, but you've never said, God, I want to surrender my life to you. Jesus, I want to put my trust in your saving work. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want to make an opportunity. I always want to make room. If that's you today, you say, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord. I want to come home to you. Jesus says, I've got the door open for you. I haven't closed it. It's not locked yet, but you have to come through the door. So if that's you today and you've never come through the door of faith in Jesus Christ, today might be your day. With every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you, I just want to give you an opportunity. You say, that's me, I want to do that. I want to say yes to Jesus. Would you just lift your hand right where you're at? Anyone in the house today, you say, that's me, Lord Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else today, you say, that's me. I want to say yes to the Lord Jesus. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. God, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning today, church?